heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and today's episode presented by SeatGeek and their wonderful SeatGeek app, which you can use with promo code LOPACERS to earn $20 back on your first ticket purchase. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, here to give you the latest news and notes about the Indiana Pacers. And on this episode, we'll look back at the weekend back-to-back, which started strong but finished flat on the road. And we'll also look ahead to the Pacers as they continue trudging through a rough road schedule. But before we dive in, a reminder, please hit me up with any feedback, comments, questions via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. All right, so the Pacers returned from the All-Star break on Friday as they hosted the Memphis Grizzlies. No easy task, but the Pacers ended up going 1-1 over the weekend with a strong effort on Friday to beat the Grizzlies 102-92. But then they hit the skids on the road Saturday night. After a solid start, Pacers faded away in the second half before losing to the Miami Heat 113-95. So let's start with the good news. Friday against the Grizzlies, as the Pacers celebrated the Marion Giants of the mid-80s and their talented championship teams. High school championship teams, which was apropos since one of Marion's own, Zach Randolph, was in town with the Grizz. So there were a lot of Giants fans in the stands, and the place was actually a full house for the return from the All-Star break. So great atmosphere. And the Pacers came and showed up, played really well. After the first quarter, went kind of back and forth, and they took a one-point lead. The Pacers reserve unit was able to push the Pacers in front for good with a solid second quarter showing, and the bench scored 27 of the team's 36 points in the second quarter, led by Monte Ellis, who had 9 of his 16 points in the game in the second. And, you know, there's nothing like a fresh Monte Ellis. You know, he seems to go downhill after that rest wears off, and then he plays on a back-to-back with one day off, but when he's fresh and ready to go, he can still get it done. Rodney Stuckey also was strong and assertive off the bench. But the big story was the reserve bigs. Yes, LaVoy Allen came in, finished the game with 10 points and 10 rebounds. But the field house was abuzz with Rakeem Christmas, who was filling in for Al Jefferson, who missed both games over the weekend with dental pain. But Christmas came in, really excited the building as he played his first meaningful game minutes for the Pacers. And for the game, Rock had 4 points, 5 rebounds, along with a block, played about 13 and a half minutes. But both his buckets came early in that second quarter run after setting the pick, rolling strong to the hoop, and finishing strong at the rim. And that really got folks excited to see, you know, big guy out there so active and athletic, and making stuff happen. Kind of something the Pacers need when, you know, we're talking about the trade deadline. They need someone to do some dirty work. Looked like Christmas has that capability, and he didn't shy away from the opportunity, that's for sure. Now, he wasn't perfect. Showed some issues that he's had down in Fort Wayne. But, you know, there were a lot of little things that Christmas did that were promising as well. And for starters, you know, he was just active. He set good screens. He blocked out. You know, essentially knew his role to be that dirty work guy, and he went for it. And there was one particular unheralded play in the second quarter where you saw him blocking out for a rebound and actually caught up two guys and just push everybody to the baseline out of the way, and that just freed up LaVoy Allen to go and gather a rebound. So, you know, you hear about a hockey assist. I don't know if that was a hockey rebound or I don't know. That type of play needs some kind of a name. I mean, it's just a good team play, I guess, giving yourself up so another guy can grab a rebound. So those type of plays were definitely promising. On Saturday, Christmas played about 16 minutes. Again, had 4 points, 7 rebounds, a couple blocks. Similarly active, you know, willing to do that dirty work the team needs. But Christmas also had issues picking up fouls, and, you know, a lot of times there were just little push fouls underneath, and those types of fouls have been a problem for him in Fort Wayne as well. And, you know, you don't mind an aggressive guy in there getting some fouls, and certainly, you know, he has 6 to give. It's not going to kill the team if he fouls out. But, you know, you don't want to just foul for foul's sake, and a lot of times that contact that he was getting called for could be avoided. And so I guess that's the curse of the active big man, you know, without a veteran rep in the NBA. But, you know, avoiding that contact for a few of those fouls where he wasn't really getting an advantage is an area that he definitely needs to improve. But overall, promising showing for Christmas. And we'll see if that effort earns him more burn with Jefferson whenever he returns. Right now, it sounds like he's questionable heading into this week. So I'm not so sure. I wouldn't prefer seeing him alongside Jefferson instead of, you know, Allen or Serafin at times, just because he's more active and might be a better pair with Big Al, again, who is questionable for Monday in Houston. So that was a great development coming off of the All-Star break to see Pacers try something new with that front court. Now, the Pacers survived to beat the Grizzlies despite a poor shooting night from Paul George. Finished with just 9 points. And, you know, they got Jeff Teague had 18 points, 10 assists. C.J. Miles knocked down 5 threes. I mentioned the 16 points from Monte Ellis. So they were able to get things done, even though it wasn't a good shooting night for PG. But the win by any means, along with, you know, a solid defensive effort, keeping the Grizzlies down to 92 points. It was a great way to start after the All-Star break, snap the 6-game losing streak, and give everybody a good feeling as they left the fieldhouse. Now, the game on Friday was a sellout for the Pacers, which was nice to see. Now, with a few road games, you know, now's the time to plan ahead for the Pacers' return to the fieldhouse. Their next 2 games at home against Detroit and Miami will be key games, as both those teams are in the playoff mix, trying to catch the Pacers currently. We'll see where we're all at when they return to play at the Fieldhouse. But make sure you use the SeatGeek app to pick up tickets and get into the Fieldhouse. You know, buying tickets online for sports and concerts has been a confusing process for a long time. It's always been hard to find the best deals for the game or show you want to go to, and none of those older ticket sites want to change that. But SeatGeek is different. They've come along, created an amazing app and website that makes it easier than ever for fans to buy and sell tickets. And like I say, now is the time to look for those seats and get into the Fieldhouse for the game against the Pistons. Let me look it up here. Pop open the app, and Pacers hit Pistons. And right now you can get into the upper deck for $7. Even some lower level seats for $19 behind the hoop. A lot of seats under 40, so a good opportunity to get some good seats and see what will be a competitive game against the Pistons. Because everything about SeatGeek is designed to make life easier for the sports and music fan. SeatGeek does all the price comparison for you by searching multiple ticket sites and ensuring that you get the best possible deal. SeatGeek does all the work and you save time and money. And SeatGeek wants to help you get the most bang for your buck. That's why every ticket on SeatGeek is given a grade based on value. You'll immediately see any underpriced seats and be able to find the best deals that fit your budget. And best of all, for my listeners, you get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. To get the $20 rebate on tickets, just download the SeatGeek app, go to the Settings tab, and click Add a Promo Code. Then enter promo code LOPACERS That's all one word, all caps, L-O, Pacers. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first ticket purchase. So download the SeatGeek app and enter the promo code L-O, Pacers today. Okay, now back on the road with the Pacers. And while Paul George didn't have a great night in the Pacers' win on Friday, things got worse for PG and the full team in Miami on Saturday as they squandered a strong start as the reserves once again gave the team a good boost. And the Pacers had an 11-point lead midway through the second quarter. But again, the starters kind of squandered the bulk of that lead before the half, and then things turned south on South Beach in the second half. And most of it had to do with Paul George. Not even 4 minutes into the third quarter, you know, he was frustrated, had already picked up a technical, and then he said the magic words to referee Gary Zielinski, who teed him up and tossed him out of the game. Yeah, it kind of sucks. I mean, he was mad, obviously, but he wasn't being flamboyant. The play was in progress. He obviously was saying something, again, surely not something nice, and, you know, probably by the letter of the law, deserved a tee. But, you know, you hate seeing a key player, the best player on a team, get tossed in a situation like that. And honestly, you know, hard to imagine LeBron or Harden, Westbrook, Durant getting tossed for verbally complaining about a call while a play is going on. After the game, PG called the league weak and, you know, admitting that even though he admitted that, you know, he had to have better control, he kind of felt that that type of a technical is just weak in that situation. And this is, you know, one of those issues that impacts PG's view of the future. He's mentioned it before, and I'm convinced he believes it. I know a lot of it stems from the series back with LeBron in Miami, those Eastern Conference Finals and playoff games where he never felt they got a fair shake with the refereeing, which is hard to complain, which is hard to deny. But, you know, he definitely, I think, believes that he doesn't get or gets calls on him that wouldn't happen if he wasn't playing for a small market Indiana. And obviously, that isn't always the case. You know, he tries to draw a lot of fouls and doesn't really go strong through the play and expects a call to get there. And a lot of times it isn't deserved. But regardless, that's kind of what he thinks of the situation. And, you know, after a dicey week around the trade deadline, this was not good to see. So fortunately, PG felt the love at home on Friday as fans gave him a big ovation and during the introductions, and he heard the same love given to him, as he said, as he took the court for warm-ups. And as he put it, you know, that's the love he loves and why he loves playing in Indiana. So it was all good after the win on Friday. But, you know, that foul issue, not something he loves about playing in Indiana. So hopefully that attitude doesn't rub off on Miles Turner, because he found himself on the wrong end of a lot of whistles in Miami, especially going up against Hassan Whiteside. And you could tell he was extremely frustrated, mostly, I think, with non-calls on him where he was getting bumped quite a bit, but obviously was visibly perturbed. And, you know, it's just something you got to play through and eventually try to make your own calls. But understand the frustration. But hopefully it isn't something that continues, and because nothing sucks the life out of a team or a game or fans' enjoyment of a game than guys complaining about the refs. So the Pacers overall blew that game in Miami, giving up 95 points in the final three quarters, and that wasn't good enough because they only scored 95 in all four quarters. You know, a rough night on the road in Miami. The Pacers are now 9-19 on the road with four more games before returning to the Fieldhouse. So next up is the old Texas two-step. This week they play at Houston on Monday, then at San Antonio on Wednesday. Woohoo! And then, you know, they will return home for a couple days before heading back on the road for a road back-to-back at Atlanta on Sunday, at Charlotte on Monday. Yikes. Hang on, fellas. going to need some big-time efforts from the big-time players on this roster to bring home a W before their next home game. So keep the faith. Eventually, the schedule will level out a little bit, even though the Pacers do have the hardest schedule in the league following the All-Star break. They're getting a big chunk of that out of the way right now. So, again, keep the faith. Thanks for listening. Please share your thoughts on the games this weekend or what's up ahead. You can reach me via email at indycornrows@gmail.com or on Twitter at indycornrows. And you can find the podcast on audioboom.com. Also, subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all prior episodes are available. And that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.